We thank you that it's not a word of a man, but your word. Yes. And we give you all the praise and honor and glory. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who will unveil and unfold the word of God unto our spirits. We receive expectantly. We're hungry and thirsty for you, Lord. For you, Lord Jesus. And for your word, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's be seated. Now, quickly, the meeting on Friday is obviously optional if you want to be participate in that. We had a good report, I'll tell you, at the end today. Just rejoicing over what God's doing. Amen. Amen. God is so good. Everybody say, God is good. All the time. And all the time, God is good. All right, so we're going to talk about part one, taking back what the enemy has stolen. So we're still talking about the theme and the God idea of restoration. The theme and the God idea of restoration. So we want to make sure that you are dialed in, tuned in to this season, this hour, this time of what? Restoration. Everybody say restoration. So we said many times before, God wants to take us from devastation to restoration. Now let's open our Bibles to Acts chapter 3. And while we're turning there or getting there, I know we have the scripture there in front of you. But I want to remind you what restoration is. Restoration is to set in order. It means to repair. It means the restoration of estates and rightful owners. It means the balancing of accounts. So to restore, the act of to restore means to get give back, to deliver, to renew a broken covenant, to give or bring a person back, to mend and to furnish completely. So I want you to be thinking about that over the landscape of your life and say, God really wants things restored in my life. Amen. Now I want you to see this in the light of the word. In Acts chapter 3, verse 19, it says, repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. This is one of the most beautiful sections of scripture in the New Testament that you and I believe can embrace, that so that times of refreshing, everybody say times of refreshing, may come from the presence of the Lord. That's beautiful in and of itself. That he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive. Now, again, we've identified that word receive as a word. If you will circle it or highlight it, it means to retain or keep or hold back. So heaven's keeping Jesus back until when? The times of restoration of all things. Now, how many believe we're in the end times? We're the end of days. So these are the last of the last days, I believe. We're getting closer to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so part of our experience in the last days is God's restoration work in our lives. And he said, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. So God has promised and given us promises of restoration. So what does that mean? Well, God wants us to trust him for supernatural increase and supernatural restoration. Everyone's faith in this room and in this church and in the body of Christ should be challenged and encouraged to trust God, believe God, release your faith in God for supernatural increase. Wherever you at, whatever job you have, whatever business endeavor you're in, you should be releasing your faith for supernatural increase, but also supernatural restoration. God doesn't want you to increase on one side and decrease by the devil continually taking from you on the other side. God wants you to have both. Amen. That was a better place to say amen. Amen. So both are part of God's agenda in these times. And so we need to be exercising our faith for, number one, increase, but also for restoration. And I want you to examine your own faith walk and faith life tonight, because that's where we're going to start in this concept of taking back what the enemy has stolen. Are you trusting, believing, releasing your faith in God for increase? Now, don't be lazy in your faith. Everybody should be trusting God to get to increase more and more, because he promised that. Now, look at the scripture right here. Psalms 115, 12 through 15. The Lord has been mindful of us. That means you're on God's mind. Now, mindful, if you just separate the two words, that means his mind is full of who? You. His mind is on you. His mind is thinking about you. God is thinking about you all the time. And he's mindful of us, and he said he will, definite term, bless us. Whew, glory to God. In other words, that he wants to empower you to prosper, increase, and succeed. He wants to take you to new levels, new dimensions, new degrees of increase. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord. Fear is not mean afraid of God. It just means reverential respect, honor, and awe of God. That means you have great respect, great reverence, great awe, and honor towards God. That's what it means to fear the Lord, just in short definition. Both small and great. Look at verse 14. May the Lord give you increase. King James says, may the Lord increase you. May the Lord give you increase. How much? More. And what? More. And you can do that's the idea of continuation. It continues more and more. You think you had enough? You think you got more than enough? God says, I won't do more. I want more. I want you to receive more. I want you to grab more. Come on now. Somebody say glory to God. You and your children, may you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. So increase is the will of God for your life. But also restoration. Everybody say it with me. Increase is the will of God for my life. But restoration is the will of God for my life. So God wants to restore more and more so you can have more. He wants to increase more and more so you can have more, so you can do more and be a bigger and better impact to the world around you for God. Why does God want to increase you? Why does God want to restore you? He wants to increase and restore you because there's a gospel that needs to go forth. There's a kingdom to increase and expand through the proliferation of the gospel, through the promoting of the gospel, through the providing for the gospel. But if you're broken, busted, stolen from, you don't have anything, you can't do anything. Why does he want you to increase? Not just so you can have more, but so you can do more. When you have more, you can do more. Somebody say glory to God. He wants to get you and I out of survival mentality and survival mode, where we're just thinking about us four and no more. Me, myself, and I. How can I make it to the next week, the next month, the next, come on now, the next season? He wants you to have more. So these are the days, the seasons, and the time to get everything back. Everything back. Everybody say everything back. Everything back. So our Father God is ready to restore everything. Now we have master copies of the notes, so if you miss a slot, don't worry about it. But main thing is connecting with your spirit and receiving from your heart what God has to say tonight. So our Father God is ready to restore everything our adversary, the devil, has stolen from us, and to turn our devastation in our life to restoration. Dr. Vera Savelle said this some time ago. In these last days, God's raising up an army who will march into the enemy's camp and take back what was stolen. That used to be a song. I think it's still a song around some circles where we say, I'm going to the enemy's camp and I take back what is stole from me. I don't know if I can sing it right, but y'all know what I'm talking about, right? I'm going to the enemy's camp. Everybody say, I'm going to the enemy's camp and take back what was stolen from me in Jesus' name. So that's you're part of that army that's going to rise up and march right into the enemy's camp and say, I want this back. I want that back. I want that back. I'm getting that back. I'm taking that back. Now, listen to me. Listen to the two prophecies again. We're going to read them again. I don't have them there, but in this handout, but we've had it in plenty of handouts. It says, in 2019, there will come a measure of blessing like you've never seen. This is from Mark and Trina Hankins, operating in the office of a prophet and a teacher. God has taken you from a small place of struggle and shame into a large place of abundance. Now, that's awesome. What is God doing? He's wanting to take you and me from a small place of struggle and shame to a large place of abundance. Amen. There are greater doors, anointing, and blessing that God has will open for you and me. The gospel will go around the world. Jesus is your shepherd. He's leading you to a new place he has prepared, a new place for you to be refreshed. Now, we read it. Times of what? Refreshing. Coming from where? The presence of the Lord. Receive the word, go in the spirit and in prayer, and everything will be enlarged for you. Declare that 2019 is a year of restoration. Now, who's supposed to declare it? That means we do. That's our part. We have to declare 2019 is my year for restoration. Say it with me. Say 2019 is my year of restoration. Say this with me. Say, God is bringing me from a small place of shame and confusion into a wealthy place of abundance and refreshing. 2019 is the year of receiving double for my trouble. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Dr. Jerry Savelle said it this way, my word is at work, so be at peace. The works of your adversary are about to cease. He operates in the office of a prophet and teacher. And it's been proven, and he's been promoted to that degree. He thought he had you. I'll say start over. My word is at work, so be at peace. The works of your adversary are about to cease. He thought he had you, but I've always come through. I'm turning things around just like I said I would do. It's never over until I've had my say. That's why I'm called the truth and the way. I watch over my word when you choose to stand, and I bring deliverance again and again. So never give up and refuse to give in. It's almost over. You're about to win. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just thank God for those words. So God has given you and me, friends, words of promise in the Bible. And we've handed them out, plenty of them. I don't know if one of the ushers will mind get the other ones out, just in case someone didn't get it. But they're in the office there. But the words of promise, that means scriptures that promise you restoration. Scriptures that promise you restoration. What are you supposed to be doing with it? You're supposed to be feeding your faith and exercising or releasing your faith in God's promises of restoration. Now, these are two prophecies, words of prophecy about restoration. During this season and in this time, has more specificity to it, or more specific to it. It's designated this season, this time, as a season or time or year of restoration. Now, what do you do with those prophecies? You embrace those prophecies and you protect them and hold them and do warfare with them, because this is what came through the prophet. 2 Chronicles 2:20 says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. So when we believe the Lord, his word, his promises will be established during this season and time of restoration. And during, and when we believe the prophecies through the prophets of God will prosper and produce the fruit of that prophecy in our respective lives. We can't just say, well, that's nice. That's wonderful. No, we got to hold on to them. Amen. Are y'all here tonight? Everything the enemy has stolen, he can't hold on to long because it's not his. Because he's holding on to stolen goods, stolen money, stolen resources, stolen stuff. How can he can't take something he didn't create or he didn't have. And Jesus took everything he has, and then God the Father, through the Word, created everything that exists. Look at John chapter 1, verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Everybody say, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. Everybody say, everything belongs to God, because he created it. Did he create the wealth for the devil and his bunch? He created for you. Is healing a part of the devil's covenant? No, there's no covenant with him. He broke his. He's judged for doom and destruction. Healing belongs to who? You. Deliverance belongs to who? You and me. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Oh, thank you. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they're thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him. And what? For him. So you got to rise up in faith and march into the enemy's camp and take back everything he stole from you. Why? Because it doesn't belong to him. It belongs to you. He's got stolen property. But you got to deal with him. So we have to take the challenge to be aggressive, to activate your faith and align your focus to see and realize the restoration of all things by the hand of God in your life. See, you're entitled to it, and you have a right to receive restoration. Everybody say, I have a right to receive restoration. Now, many of you heard me say this before, so understanding the simple concept that grace makes, faith takes. So this is part one. And so we have to understand that grace makes salvation available, but it's your faith that takes or receives salvation. Grace makes healing available, but it's your faith that takes and receives healing. Everybody say, grace makes, faith takes. But see, faith only takes what grace has made. And what grace has made is also restoration. That's why you can't earn it or merit it, but you have to believe it to receive it. Does everybody see this? Now let's go to one of the major statements Jesus made about faith, the principles of the law of faith, in Mark 11, 22, 20 through 24. So Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in what? God. Have faith in who? Have faith in who? God. Now stop trying. That's all you folks start trying. You need to stop trying. I'm trying to get it. I'm trying to understand. No, stop it right now. And stop your trying. Have faith in who? God. Have faith in who? God. That means have faith in him. And in what he has already accomplished and what he has already provided by grace. You have faith in who? God. He's already doing and has a will of restoration and doing a work of restoration in this season and in this time. So stop trying to be restored. Just be restored. Be restored. I say it again. Be restored in Jesus' name. You believe and you receive and you take it. Hallelujah. For surely I say unto you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and so that does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. There's a lot in there. We're not going to cover every little aspect of that. But therefore I say unto you, what things soever you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will what? Have them. So in these verses, our Lord, our Master, outline very powerful principles of the law of faith that we most assuredly need in this season and hour in which we live. The just shall live by faith is mentioned in the Bible 5 times. So what is he trying to tell us? If you're going to live the way God wants you to live, you got to live by faith. You got to understand that, first of all, grace makes, but faith has to take. And it is specifically for you, your faith has to take what grace has made available to you. God's done his part, but he expects us to do our part. Amen. Amen. And so you have to remember, your faith gives the Lord something to work with in regarding to his work and will of restoration in your life. Your faith has to give God something to work with. If your faith is not working, then God can't work. So it's by our faith we believe that we receive restoration. And we activate and appropriate God's restoration power and process in our lives. We start the process by faith, by the exercise and the release of our faith. Now, two very, very vitally important things that we should monitor and ensure we're consistently growing and developing in is, first, our love walk. We've said this many a times. This keeps us from being easily offended at God and others. And it prevents and protects our hearts from being harboring bitterness and unforgiveness. Every step out of love is a step out of God. Everything in the universe. See, the Bible says that the worlds were framed by the word of God. In other words, God used his faith to create, to cause, and to control. How does he expect us to use our faith? To create, to cause, and to control. We have the God kind or the God quality of faith. We have the same faith that he has. He said, have faith in God. In other words, have the faith of God. Have the same kind of faith he had, to use, to create, to cause, and to grow. Frame our world with the word of God. Amen. Some of you heard this before, but it needs to be repeated at times. And so everything works by faith, but faith works by love. No love, no faith. No faith, no grace. That's simple math for you, right? Amen. Faith minus love equals no grace. If you don't have any grace, you have no chance of standing or thriving a bit successfully in the things of God, because it's by grace through faith. Restoration is a grace thing. But it's your faith that starts the process and the power of God to work restoration on your behalf. Whew, this is good stuff. See, remember, when we get offended at God and other children of God, we stop getting into God's presence. Every step out of love is a step out of God, and it's really a step into sin. And sin lets the devil in. You run around talking about how you're struggling with people and you can't stand people and people have hurt you and you hadn't walked in active forgiveness. Amen. You holding and harboring things, ill will, bitterness, unforgiveness against people. You are short-circuiting your faith. And remember, no love, no faith. No faith, no grace. So you can frustrate the grace that God's trying to work in your life right now, the grace of restoration and bring all things, but you're hindering God because your love walk is out of line. Your love life, the love of God in your life, is out of order. Amen. You can't go to bed angry and mad and frustrated and bitter against people. Many people, God said, would be healed even this moment times and times again, but their faith has hindered the healing power of God because their love walk is out of order. Your faith won't work if you don't forgive. Love is not a passive stand to yourself, closing up in a room, being docile and dormant. Love is active. It is expressive. It's highly engaging and proactive in giving and forgiving. Amen. That's why he warned us, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. I think I'm stuck here for a minute. Amen. This is answers to some people. Because the flow of restoration is stopped up. Because the love life and the love walk is out of order. Amen. See? And without God's presence, refreshing doesn't occur. Where does times of refreshing come from? Everybody say it. The presence of the Lord. See, you can't get in God's presence. You out there dry and parched and spiritually dehydrated, so to speak. And when you're dry and parched and spiritually dehydrated, it's because you haven't been in his presence. Amen. Everything changes in his presence. But the presence of God, times of refreshing coming from the presence of the Lord, sets up the time of restoration of all things. So the work of restoration comes after the work of refreshing. See, people want restoration and they get excited about it, but they don't want to get the refreshing. Because they're mad at everybody for and everything because things have been stolen, broken, and taken from them. And they think they're always behind the eight ball. And they walk around mad and miserable and messed up. Don't shout me down. I'm preaching real good tonight. You're mad, miserable, messed up because you're thinking, well, these people taken from me, stolen from me. It's, life isn't fair and this and that and rah, rah, rah. You need to get that slate cleaned. Get it right before the night. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't have any ill will or animosity against anybody. Amen. Don't do the quid pro quo thing where you say, well, I got to get this right before I get right with you. No. Be proactive. Give them forgiveness. Owe no man anything but to love them. If you get up in the morning, you're not going to run across those people that run you the wrong way or sand, like sandpaper to your life. You forgive them before you even meet them. Lord, I forgive them. I decree and declare that I love them, you love them, and I forgive them. Amen. And that way when you encounter them, that that stuff won't penetrate into you. That offense, that ugly, ill ill-tempered and ill-bitter feeling won't get into you. Because love never fails. Love prevails. Love always wins. Woo, glory to God. Second, our faith walk. Everybody say our love walk? Our faith walk. So our faith must continually grow and develop. That's why we read, feed, and exercise our faith in the promises and the words of prophecy daily. You might take a vacation, but never take a vacation on your faith. Everybody say amen. Amen. So if you're not reading the Bible and feeding on the Bible, you're starving your faith. Because yesterday's faith, in this season, in this hour, friends, I'm speaking by the Spirit of God. In this season, in this hour, you can't survive off of yesterday's and last week's faith. You got to get fresh faith for a fresh new day. And you'll be strong in what you do and even the words that you say. And you'll be on your way to restoration and refreshing each and every day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what the Spirit said. That's what the Holy Spirit said. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Faith, your priority each day. We need to feed and exercise our faith to enable it to grow and develop. Now, remember these points of faith. Faith is your belief in action. And faith can be seen. We know the account in Luke chapter 5 where they let the four crazy faith friends let the guy through the talent of the roof. And the Bible says when he saw their faith. So faith can be seen. And then faith can also be heard. In other words, when he heard the words from the Roman centurion, he heard that. He said, I'm amazed. I'm marveled because you have great faith. So if your faith is released or exercised on a daily basis, it should be seen and it should be heard. Many people feed their faith, but they don't exercise. But so you get lopsided, you get fat and lazy. That's why we gave you scriptures to feed on. Come on now. If you ate T-bone, whatever your favorite steak is, if you're a steak eater, you know, T-bone, filet mignon, porterhouse, ribeye, or New York strip or whatever, or if you like a fish dish, salmon, you know, blackened or fried or baked, you know, broiled, hallelujah, whatever you like. You can't just remember the taste. You got to taste it every day. See, you don't feed your faith just by trying to memorize. You got to get in the word, put your eyeballs on it, but put your mouth on it just like you would do food. You don't taste food with your mouth closed. You don't get fed your faith with your mouth closed because faith comes by hearing. And hearing by what? The word of God. You got to hear it. Everybody say faith can be seen and faith can be heard. So is your faith seen? If we had a body cam on you all day long, could we identify, oh, that's their faith. That's their faith in action. Oh, they said something. That's their faith in action. Faith is your belief in action. When you're silent, you're not releasing or exercising your faith. When you're inactive or dormant, faith without works or corresponding actions is dead faith. And dead faith is like carrying around a dead Jesus. This word won't do you any good. because your faith is dead or dormant. It's not doing anything. Amen. Hallelujah. See, we need to feed and exercise our faith to enable it to grow and develop. When our faith grows and develops, three things occur. Number one, Satan's dominion over us wanes. So Satan has been harassing and punching your lights out on a consistent basis. When your faith grows, you punch back. You don't fight the devil's fight. You fight the good fight of faith. In other words, you instead of putting your fist up, you put your faith up. I'm tired of you punching my eyes out every Monday morning, Mr. Devil. Then you come to the door and he brings your doorbell and you put up your faith shield. Now hit this. Hallelujah. Satan's dominion over you ain't. It's number two, circumstances become less formidable. In other words, you aren't going through ATLL like you used to be when there's a challenge or a circumstance come in your life. And then fear is destroyed. You know, you can unlearn these fears. You might be afraid of money running out, you know, never getting healed. All that fear needs to get washed out of you. Somebody say glory to God. And so faith grows by feeding it and exercise. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Now, let me say one more thing before we go to the next page real quick. I made it in the note if you got the text from me. Having done all to stand, stand. Because, see, faith stands. And so I always like to extend it and say it this way. Faith stands up and steps up. And see, the faith to step up and step out is worthless without the faithfulness to stick it out. Faithfulness means you stand. Having done all to stand, stand. Because it's by faith you stand and you keep on standing. What? On the word of God. Standing upon nothing under your feet but the word of God. God said it. Brother Steve brought this scripture up in their offering. He will also do it. If he spoke it, he will make it good. Amen. But I want you to bring your attention to that phrase, having done all. Because faith acts. Faith is an act. When you have done all, have you done all? Because sometimes people say, well, I'm believing, I'm trying to believe, I'm trying to get strong. No. You're not. Trying is not in the Bible. It just says believe. Act. Speak. Amen? So the thing is, having done all, so you got to go through kind of a Holy Spirit consultation between you and him and say, Holy Spirit, have I done all to stand on this word of restoration? Have I done all to stand? In other words, have I done all to believe that I receive this word and I'm waiting for God to bring the instant, immediate, and manifestation of restoration in my life? So some things God may have or require you to do as a next step in your faith. So you might go through the Holy Spirit, am I believing the right thing? Am I on the right scriptures? Yes. Holy Spirit should be your helper and your coach. He's our great advantage. He can tell you if you're in fake faith or you are in real faith. Amen? Am I just mentally assenting this word of restoration? Am I just going through the motion? Or am I in faith about this? And he will tell you where you may have to make an adjustment. Are you listening to me? Because if your faith is not clicking and working and connecting to the promise of God, where faith is forming your heart, then you're missing it somewhere. And the Holy Spirit can help you make this adjustment right here. That's part of having done all to stand. So that may be a belief action that you might have to make an adjustment in how you're believing. That's what Dad Hagen did when he was on a bed of affliction with his three incurable blood diseases, his deformed heart, and his partial paralysis from the legs down. He couldn't walk. As a 17-year-old boy, he said, I do believe. And the Holy Spirit said, no, you do believe, all right, but that's only far as you know. He had limited knowledge. And the Holy Spirit had to open him up and say, you need to believe this as well. And he made an adjustment in his faith. So you may take this word of restoration and say, well, I do believe in it. That sounds good. But you might have limited understanding of what God really wants to do in your life. And you might have to make an adjustment on the inside, because you have to do all, having done all, to stand there for. Am I helping somebody tonight? And so that might be a belief action that you have to adjust. You might have to double up. There's been times in my life where the Holy Spirit says, no, you're not feeding on that enough to strengthen your faith in that area. She said, go from this to this. I might have 5 scriptures. He said, man, go get 10. I might read 5 chapters. He said, go read 10 and read 15. There's times where he had me read 20 because I needed that amount of faith for that day. Are y'all listening to me tonight? And then there may be a speaking. There's times when, confession may be a few minutes, 10 minutes, but then the Holy Spirit says, no, you need to do more. Because that's not all what needs to be done. Having done all, to stand. See, believing is part of the faith component, but also speaking is part of it. So you may not be saying or speaking enough. You just may be saying it in church, but the rest of the week and the rest of the days, your mouth is shut or you're seeking something else. Sometimes you need to turn the volume up on your voice, because that's part of having done all. In other words, your confession needs to rise to a new level of intensity. Amen. In other words, you need to step up your game in the area of your speaking part of your faith. Because if you're silent, you're going to lose by default. God spoke the world into existence, framed his word, uses his faith through his words. And guess what he's going to help you, require you to do? To use your faith through your words. And if you're not speaking enough, you're leaking for sure. Everybody say, having done all, to stand therefore. And so he might have you make an adjustment in the area of your praise life, in your rejoicing life, because rejoicing is a harvesting factor. 1 Peter 1, chapter 5 through 9 tells us that, though you be in heaviness through manifold temptations, trials, and tests, he talks about yet believing, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. In other words, receiving the end of your faith. So sometimes receiving the end of your faith requires you to rejoice in your faith. Rejoicing is a simple phrase that just means to rekindle or stir up the joy of the Lord. You need to stay strong in the joy. So it has nothing to do with how you feel, but the word says rejoice forevermore. It says rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, and rejoice in the Lord. In other words, rejoicing needs to be part of our spiritual discipline and daily regimen. There's an intentionality to rejoicing. But there's also an inspiration to rejoicing, because when the joy kicks in, you can feel the strength of your spirit rising up on the inside, and you can withstand the pressure and the problems and the peril that the enemy brings against you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Rejoicing is a harvesting factor. Amplified says heavenly triumphant joy. That means you need to be running and jumping around the house. That's why I sent the messages about cheerleading. It's just not just patty caking or playing games. Sometimes you need to be cheerful and intentionally rejoice around the house, run around, rejoice and jumping and dancing and praising God and thanking God. Come on now. And laughing in the Lord. Hallelujah. Because you need to receive this restoration power and restoration work in your life. Hallelujah. I don't feel like doing it. It has nothing to do with your feelings. It has everything to do with your faith. It doesn't make sense, but it makes faith. Joy is the fuse to your faith. Everybody say, having done all. Stand. Now, let me finish this up real quick. I'm going to close in a few minutes. It has been said that the door to the supernatural swings on two hinges, believing and speaking. We got the scripture there, 2 Corinthians 4:13. And since we have same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. Believing is the attitude of faith. Speaking is the essential act of faith. Belief, their attitude of faith, is your confidence in God and His Word. Your confidence in that this is the time, this is the day, this is the season, this is the hour of restoration. I have a confidence. I have a belief that's firmly confident in God's promise and God's words of prophecies. Speaking is an essential act of faith. So if I believe it, I have to speak it. Jesus says, say in Mark 11, we just read it three times. He said, believe it once. That means you got to be emphasized three times more importance on the speaking part of faith than the believing part of faith. And if your faith is strong enough to move your mouth, it will be strong enough to move your mountain. In other words, if it can't move your mouth, it can't move anything in your life. What are you saying? How is your faith acting? Remember, true confession is affirming something that we believe, testifying to something that we know, and witnessing to a truth that we have embraced. God has ordained strength to come out of your mouth and to stop the enemy of sin, sickness, Satan, sorrow, and shame from defeating you. The confession of your lips has grown out of the heart will absolutely defeat the adversary in every combat. In other words, faith-filled words will dominate. Faith-filled words will dominate. But we got to go back and start examining our faith to see, am I believing? Am I speaking? Am I acting upon the Word of God appropriately? We'll run out of time, so we'll take this up next week, because you got some of the gist of the handout, your authority, your words, because we use your faith-filled words for the release of power, restoration power. How is God going to have something to work with? It's got to come out of your heart and through your lips. That's the first step in trying and taking back what the enemy stole. You're not dealing with flesh and blood or a seen component. You're dealing with a spiritual component. So your faith has to be released to keep him in the faith arena, and you'll whip him 100 times out of 100. Faith, let me close with this thought. Faith grabs a hold and puts a claim ticket on things that have been lost and stolen. How do you put a claim ticket on it? You got to claim it. You got to speak it. That's why he said restore. That's why we talked about write down everything the devil stole from you for the last 5 years. Everybody should be able to believe God for things that have been lost, stolen, or broken by the devil for the last 5 years. And then you begin to put your claim on it. How do you claim it? You claim it by faith. I claim that money back in the name of Jesus. I claim that health back. He's stolen your health. Claim it back. Claim restoration. Are you listening to me? That's the first step. Let's stand. Praise God. That's the first step in starting. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lift your hands up and praise God and thank God.